You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Alexa Dadd, and today we are talking Nats baseball. We bring in our Nationals reporter for MLB.com, Jamal Collier. Jamal, finally something to talk about with the Nationals. They signed their first position player this offseason, former Cardinals and Braves first baseman Matt Adams. He's going to supply a much-needed bench role for this team. What do you believe he brings to this team, and how much do you think his production can compare to what the Nats got from Adam Lind?
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty much, you know, thinking this is going to be an exact replacement for Adam Lind. They've had the last couple of years kind of had that kind of bigger, burly, left-handed first baseman to back up Ryan Zimmerman. Clint Robinson, if you remember a couple of years ago, then it kind of filled in for Adam Lind with him. And, you know, they had a chance to bring Adam Lind back. He had a $5 million mutual option that the Nationals actually declined, in part because they said, hey, we think we can get that same kind of role, that same kind of player for cheaper out in the market. And they basically, that gamble paid off. You know, to get Matt Adams in, he's in for $4 million, so he saved about $1 million, put some incentives in there. He's a guy who, you know, has the power, obviously. He's had success as a pinch hitter, sort of a limited sample, but he has been pretty good in that role. And they think that, you know, he's a guy who's like 3 or 4 years younger than Adam Lind is as well, and is probably better suited to play every day. It's like Adam Lind, he's a guy who you probably don't want to face a whole lot of lefties. He's just so much better against righties, sort of around an 820 OPS against righties, against about a 600 OPS against lefties in his career. But, you know, he's a guy who they think can play the same role. Adam Lind, as you remember, hit a lot of big home runs for them, was such a huge weapon off the bench and just a huge threat when you have a guy like that kind of looming on the bench. And I think that they see him in kind of the same way they saw Lind.
How much were you surprised that Adams was willing to take a step back and not have a starter role with this team?
You know, I don't think I was that surprised, just because I saw last year the market really for those kind of his kind of player. I'm going to talk about a guy who is really just kind of a power bat that, you know, doesn't necessarily going to hit for the highest averages and necessarily going to play defense or move around him very well. But we've seen in this game the way the homers have kind of exploded so far that really teams weren't paying for that kind of player. And that's kind of why Adam Lind lingered so long last offseason. And, you know, the Nats signed him the day of the reported spring training for, I believe, a $1 or $2 million deal. It wasn't very much. And I think just with that probably in mind, seeing how that market developed last year, I think if he saw a role with the Nats where he knows he's going to be used, has a chance to win and win a World Series and a team that obviously is going to be kind of successful or competitive next year, I think that it was, you know, probably natural that he wanted to kind of jump in and get out ahead of it as opposed to waiting and lingering out for the next couple of months like Lind did, and it kind of did not pay off.
So Matt Adams fills a much-needed bench role there for the Nationals, but they still have some other pieces there on the bench to address. How do you believe they'll fill those spots? What names is the organization talking about right now?
Yeah, so I mean, I think they feel pretty good. You have a guy like Adams, who's the first guy off the bench. Wilmer Defoe will probably be that backup middle infielder. They've also have kind of envisioned him maybe getting some more experience in the outfield during spring training. But you have those guys. Brian Goodwin's a pretty good fourth outfielder. I think the two spots you're looking at is one is the backup catcher. Right now, Pedro Severino kind of slots into that. But I think that they have also kind of poked around a little bit about some of the other free agent catchers, veteran catchers on the market. You know, guys like Avila or Miguel Montero, some of those guys might make sense for them to kind of go out and try to sign. But I think that looking at a backup catcher and then you're looking at one guy potentially to replace Howie Kendrick, I think they still are open to bringing Howie Kendrick back. I think that thing kind of works out. But he's similar in the sense that, you know, he might be able to find somewhere he could play more of a set role, play a little bit more every day and have some guaranteed playing time as opposed to coming to D.C. But, yeah, I think that they're really not a whole lot for them to fix right now in that bench. Probably just one more player that they'll want to definitely have. And they may do that through a combination of spring training invites and guys to come out and try out for a job you know, once February comes around.
All right, let's talk about the bullpen. And they obviously addressed that issue midseason, bringing in Doolittle, Madsen, and Kinsler. And they reached an agreement to bring back Brandon Kinsler on a 2-year deal. He's expected to take a physical this week. It's going to become official after that. Why was it important to both sides in this deal to have him return to D.C.?
Yeah, I mean, I think just one, you saw how just much that settled things once they brought Kinsler back in their bullpen last year when you had him, Madsen, and Doolittle as a whole. Now you're talking about this bullpen now gets a lot deeper. And you got guys like Cota Glover, Sean Kelly, who are a little bit of unknowns because of their health. Now you can protect them a little bit. You don't have to run them out as many innings. You can kind of try to ease them back in and make sure you kind of keep them healthy and such. So they feel pretty good now about their guys from the right side, especially the guys from the left, you know, Sammy Solis, Andy Romero, to go along with Doolittle. They feel pretty good about those guys, too. So I think, in general, it just makes their bullpen a lot deeper. It's kind of the right-handed pitcher they want. They really just were impressed by what Kinsler had last year, especially when you put him in a role like he was in, where he's, you know, in the seventh inning, but also if it comes down to it, they need some off days for Batson or Doolittle. He can slide in there. He's got closing experience before and has gotten big outs before. And I think that they feel comfortable kind of using him in any of those kind of back-end roles. I think for him also is, you know, he wanted to win. And I think that the Nats, obviously the team, like we said, is going to have a chance to compete, not only just to win the division, but to go to the World Series again. And I think that, you know, having that kind of guaranteed, you know, sort of role where he's comfortable with, a place that he's been in before, and a chance to do it for a World Series contender seemed to be more enticing to him than going to a team where he may have had a chance to close, but maybe not had the same chance for success in the postseason. So, you know, Rizzo and the Nats believe that he had some offers on the table to be a closer or to have maybe a little bit more of a prominent role somewhere else. But I think he chose the side of winning as opposed to going for that.
Yeah, and hopefully he is able to do that with this team because, unfortunately, they haven't had too much luck in the postseason recently. Let's talk about a couple of players who are recovering from injury during Nats yep. Winterfest this weekend. We saw Daniel Murphy hobbling around on crutches, which I don't know if it was the greatest sight for Nationals fans, but he is, you know, only a few months removed from knee surgery. The Nats say he's on track to be ready for opening day, but Murph has declined to give a timetable or at least a specific one for his return. What evidence do we have that tells us he's going to be ready for opening day, and what's their backup plan if he's not ready?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a dicey situation because, like you said, the Nats seem to be pretty confident. I think the biggest evidence, the thing that I've kind of pointed to, just the way that they've kind of operated, they have not really been interested in, or not really been actively searching for any kind of backup for Murphy. Now, that part of that's because of Wilmer Defoe, and they feel pretty confident about what he brings in that role. They have to play him every day for some kind of extended period of time. We saw him, he was backing up for Trey Turner last year, but he did pretty well in that role. And I think that, one, they feel comfortable if they have to use Defoe for a week or 2 weeks or a bit a month that he can kind of fill in. But, you know, I think that they feel pretty good about Murphy. You know, this is a rare sort of surgery for a baseball player to have, but players have come back from it before, including Justin Turner, Murphy's former teammate and kind of good friend in New York. But I think that they, you know, all signs kind of point to the fact that if he can be ready, somewhere near spring training or somewhere in spring training or somewhere near the start of the season, that they're comfortable maybe missing a week or two or so with him and just get him fully right. And he's a guy who takes care of himself and who knows his body very well, too. You know, he's not a guy who's going to necessarily come back from an injury early when he's not ready or push through things when it's not necessarily prudent for him to. And I think that it's going to be a combination of just trusting Murphy and you know, trusting Defoe as well if they do have to go with him as a backup. But it's a little bit hard to say. I mean, Murphy still seems pretty encouraged, and he didn't want to put a timetable on it just because he doesn't want to say he'll be ready by this date, and then if he's not ready by this date, everybody's kind of wondering what happened. But I think the biggest thing is you know, that the way they operate this offseason kind of still led me to believe that they think that Murphy can be back, if not right into the start of opening day, somewhere shortly after. And I think that, you know, so far, I guess we're going to believe him.
And a lot of people would tell you the philosophy of not setting a timetable is actually smart because then people can't get on you for not being there when you said you were going to be. Oh, is there a setback? Is there, you know, and that creates all sort of, you know, a mental component to coming back from an injury, too. So I thought that was kind of an interesting decision by Murph and a smart one, too. Speaking of injury rehab, Adam Eaton said he's going to be ready to go for opening day. He's obviously spending time, rehabbing from that torn ACL. Any concerns with Eaton, do you believe, not making it for opening day?
You know, Eaton thinks he can be ready to start opening day of spring training, probably to go out there and try to play nine innings. He's just been kind of chomping at the bit here. Obviously, that injury was so long ago. We're talking about the beginning of last or end of last April that he's kind of been sidelined. So I think with Eaton, the biggest thing with them is he's got to test it out. You know, he's obviously working his way back to potentially come back during the playoffs. He was saying he was not sure whether or not that would have been realistic or not, but he was going to keep trying. And I think that, you know, he's done a lot of things to kind of get himself ready to test out his knee and do everything except for actually play in baseball games. And I think that that's just going to be such a key hurdle. He's going to have to go and make some of those movements that you just don't have to make until you have to cut and get a ball in the gap, or you have to try to, you know, go from first to third or try to extend for a triple, whatever it might be. And I think that's going to be the biggest kind of hurdle for Eaton right now. But it was far enough out removed that I think that you know, he should be still on track and should be no worries as far as him being ready for opening day. But another guy the Nats are not going to want to necessarily throw him right into the fire here. They're going to probably try to ease him in spring training, make sure he's 100%, make sure that knee responds to everything before they're really, ready to run him out there every day. But so far, so good. Everything seems clear for Eden. He's encouraged and kind of clearing all the hurdles that he needed to, that we should see him back on the field when it's time to open up.
Perhaps the biggest story for the Nationals, and one of the reasons I didn't bring it up earlier was really just because it's going to be ongoing, I think, for a while, is the contract extension, possibly, or free agency of Bryce Harper. And a lot of people, yep, when I tell them that I'm not a Nationals fan, they say, well, you know, where's Bryce Harper going to end up in 2019? And I really don't have an answer for them. I don't know anyone does, but they were talking about how they had early contract extension talk, at least between the team and Bryce Harper's agent. Anything there, or are we just still kind of a wait-and-see situation?
Definitely in a wait-and-see situation. I think a couple things that I kind of read into it. One, the fact that even if they're having that conversation, even if it doesn't lead to anything this offseason necessarily, you're at least, you know, laying the groundwork and seeing exactly what kind of number, what kind of thing that Harper and Boris and company are going to be looking for in that next contract. And right now you have a year window here before the start of next offseason that you have exclusive rights to be able to, you know, negotiate with Bryce. And even if that doesn't necessarily lead to anything for this offseason, I think it's just, you know, smart in a way right now to have it where over the next 10 months or so, you're going to be able to continue to sell Bryce every day almost, or as much as you possibly can, on why this is the place that he should be spending, you know, the next however long his next contract would be. And I think that just is something that I think I took away from it, is that they're already starting that kind of process. The fact that Boris and Harper are still willing to meet and have those conversations shows that they have not closed the door on DC. You know, so people who think that Bryce has definitely got one foot out the door, I never really bought that, because he does generally seem to like DC, and he does, you know, I think wants to be open to the idea of spending one place, staying his entire career in one place. So I think that there's a couple things to be encouraged by just on that sense. On the other hand, you know, it's looking more and more likely that this thing is going to go to free agency here next winter, and I think that then you're talking about an open up and a sort of a bidding war between the rest of the teams, and we've seen some of the things that the other teams in the league, the Yankees, the Dodgers and such, have done to kind of put themselves in position financially to really be big players next year as well. So that being said, we're pretty much in a wait and see. We don't know what Bryce is going to do in the next year. I don't know if he knows what he's going to do in the next year, and but I think right now the Nats have the next couple of months where they are Bryce, you know, they have this kind of relationship with Bryce and the chance to pitch him every single day if they have to, or if they want to, or as much as they possibly can, to let him know why DC would be the place that he should kind of set up for the future.
Jamal, we're heading into the holiday season. Give me one thing on the top of the Nationals' holiday wish list, and maybe that is Bryce Harper staying in the nation's capital, but I'm sure there's a laundry list of things. If there's one thing on the top of that wish list, what do you think it is for Nationals fans?
Yeah, I mean, you know, on the one hand, Nationals fans can kind of be like me as a kid. They can be a little greedy, because on the one hand, you want Bryce Harper, and extending him would be a huge thing. But I think the biggest thing for them right now is obviously winning the World Series and getting out of the first round of the playoffs as well. It kind of goes with that. But the chance to advance in the playoffs, to get to the World Series, at least for the first time in this franchise's history, would be huge for this team. It's obviously the way they've operated and tried to do some things they've done this offseason to try to bring back this team, to fire a new manager who can get them over the hump. So getting over the hump and getting to the World Series, I think it's still got to be at the top of the Nationals' wish list. And they've got a chance to at least next year to have Bryce Harper right in front of that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Jamal, thank you so much. Happy holidays. Enjoy it, and we'll talk to you in the new year.
Thanks a lot. You too.